In your bulletin, you'll see a blue insert. At the top, it says Partners on Mission. And please take that out, if you would, with a pencil in your hand. And let's join together in prayer as we prepare to look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you that you are light, and therefore it's your nature to reveal yourself, and that you are love, and you long to have a love relationship with us. You are holy. And Lord, we pray that today through your word and by your spirit, you would speak to us and change the way we think and live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It happened several years ago in Seattle, Washington, and people still talk about it. And when I think about it, my heart is always deeply touched. The Special Olympics took place, and there was handicapped children prepare for years, for months to enter competitions. The 100-yard dash took place. 9 children, when the gun sounded, took off. Halfway down the track, one of the little boys fell, and he was laying there crying. The other 8 all stopped, turned around, came back, and surrounded him. A little girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed him on his hurt knee and said, "That'll make it feel better." And then they all stood up, and they locked arms, and together they walked across the finish line. And everybody in the stands immediately stood up, and the cheering went on for a long, long time. There's something about that story that always gets to me. And as I rehearsed it this week, I thought, what is it that gets to me when I hear that story? There's several things. It is so Christ-like. In a race, normally what we would do is, "Sorry, punk, you fell, I'm going by you." Nobody stops to come back. They all stopped. And I thought, Lord, that is such a picture of the way you want your church to be. That as the world watches us, that we lock arms, and when one stumbles, we all come around, and together we go across the finish line. There's something about that story that reminds me, we were intended to be like that. And it's so unusual that it convicts me. At the top of your notes, I put a sentence. This is the sermon in a sentence today. We are called to function as partners on mission. Would you say that with me? We are called to function as partners on mission. In our individualistic culture, it spills over into our evangelical Christianity, where our major theme tends to become a personal relationship with Christ. It's just Jesus and me. And we put blinders on so that we ignore the biblical truth that you never get the head without the body. You never get Jesus without his family. It is Jesus and we. It is us. When I come to Christ, I am connected to his body. And I am called to function as a partner with others on mission. You cannot go through your Bible without seeing that message everywhere. Open your Bible up and you begin to see God at work creating things. In Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." Us and our, referring to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The first partnership. One God, three persons. Three persons, one God, us and our. Then it tells you that God created us in his image. And if we're created in his image, God being us and our, part of being in his image is that we were made to relate. We were made to connect, not only to God, but to each other. The worst form of punishment is solitary confinement, just to be all alone. The book of Genesis says it is not good that man is alone. And so he created Eve to form the first partnership in the human race. When you go through Scripture, you'll see that God's standard operating procedure is to get his work done through partnerships. That partnership was broken because of sin and Satan. And it immediately alienated man from God, so he could not connect anymore, and it alienated man from one another. So Adam and Eve, the first couple, they began to hide from God, hide from each other, and they began to blame one another. And that has polluted the whole human race. And then Jesus Christ comes, and he pays for our sin, and he removes the barrier that separates us from God by paying the penalty for our sin. He rises from the dead and gives us the Holy Spirit, and then he puts within us a brand new heart, and this heart is bent toward relating to God and connecting with other people. If Christ is on the throne of your life, one of the evidences is that you passionately love God, but you're driven to connect with other people. One of the evidences that Christ is in your life is that you function as a part of the body of Christ. Today I want to read just some scripture together, convicting scripture. Let's just read it and let it sink down into our way of thinking. The first passage is Romans 12, 3 to 8. Let's read it together. For though through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we are many and one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now go back and look at that passage again. And notice it says in verse 4 that we ought to have sound judgment. And the evidence of sound judgment, clear thinking as a believer, is to see yourself as a part of the body of Christ. He is the head, you're a member. And there are two fallacies that fall into our thinking here that destroys this concept. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12 also. One is to get into the comparison game and look at somebody else's gifts. And when I see their wonderful gifts, I do a comparison and say to myself, because I'm not and I don't have their gifts, I'm really not much in the body of Christ. The other extreme is to do this kind of comparison. Look at somebody else's gifts and then think I'm arrogant and I'm better. And because you're not, I don't really need you. Both of those are a sin against God. When you come to Christ, you get his family. And you are called to function as a partner on mission. We are called to be one another people. Jesus never, ever lets us separate loving God and loving people. He pushes us to partnership. Look on the back of your notes at the top. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. And let's read that one. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Isn't that fascinating to think about? We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his eyes, we are his ears. He is the head, we are the body. It's we. Think about us functioning together under Christ, and we are his body doing his work in the world. You cannot do that unless you see yourself as called to function as a partner on mission. Now, if ever there was a human being who could do it alone, who was qualified to pull it off without any help, it was Jesus. He was sinless. The Son of God, perfect man. If anybody could do ministry alone, it was Jesus. But he didn't do it that way. He deliberately formed partnerships. One of the few times when it records he prayed all night long was before he chose his partners, his disciples. And he kept infusing in them, you do ministry together. It is not a lone ranger mentality. It's a one another. He sent them out two by twos. And after Jesus ascended back into heaven, the church was together. They always did ministry together. When they sent out missionaries, they sent out teams of missionaries in partnership. When they planted new churches, every time they had a group of elders, a team of pastors that oversaw the church. When you see Paul's letters to the churches, he would write to Corinth or Ephesus or Philippi. And we forget that there weren't church buildings until around 350 AD. So they weren't meeting in buildings, they were meeting in homes. So when you say to the church at Philippi, it was many, many local congregations in one city functioning together as the church because they understood the one anotherness of the body of Christ. We've lost that. One of the reasons I will not give up on working with other churches in this county is because I believe it's biblical. That's why we pray with pastors every Wednesday morning, because we want to see the church take the county for Christ. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you have love one for the other. Our vision path, the fourth P, is partnerships. To form partnerships with other Christ-honoring churches to reach the county for Christ. Same theme over and over again. We are called to function as partners on mission. That is the biblical design. It is almost as if God has said, I have designed you so you will not work right unless you're one another people. You cannot do it alone. And if you try, you're sinning against the head, Christ. He put you in the body to work with the rest of the body. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Solomon, one of the wisest men other than Christ, wrote these wonderful words. Let's read them together. Two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. From Genesis all the way through Revelation, this theme pops up over and over again. We are called to partner on mission with one another. Even the Great Commission, we tend to read it individualistically instead of saying, look at what it really says. Let's read this together. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Lo, I'm with you, scratch out you, it's y'all, it's plural. I'm with y'all. And he is giving the command to go to all nations. One person could never do that. It has to be a partnership. And when you lead people to discipleship, you baptize them, and that integrates them into the family. It is partnership over and over again. Now, I grew up in the evangelical, individualistic, super pastor culture. And I want to tell you, it crippled me and this church for years, and I'm trying to get over it. When I first came here, I brought with me some tools that were very, very good tools, and they bore fruit. One of them was in premarital counseling. And I determined that anybody that got married at Cherrydale would get at least 8 sessions of premarital counseling. That's a good approach. We want godly families. Here's a stupid thing I did. I did all the premarital counseling. I didn't even share it with my fellow pastors. So here I am, we get a marriage factory going. I got 8 sessions per couple, and I'm doing them all. And I'm trying to do everything else in the ministry, and I am wearing myself out, blessing people, thinking I'm serving God. And then it dawned on me, where in the world did you get that idea? Who told you you're to do all the ministry yourself? Duh, train some other people. So I began to train other couples to do this. And then some of our pastors learned to do it. And now I don't do it very often at all. But we have 13 mentor couples who are involved in ministry. Their marriages are strengthened and it's multiplying. I was robbing them of ministry. I was going against the biblical grain. And I was stealing from them the great joy of bearing fruit. If we all had that mentality, never do ministry alone, always find a partnership, always multiply yourself, we would be astounded at how it would release us and it would expand the body of Christ. Evangelism. For years I thought, I have to do it all alone. It's just Jesus and me, and I'll get to share Jesus with some folks. That's not necessarily biblical. Use the team, the body of Christ. There's a man in China today, Xu Ming, who's a government official bearing great influence for Christ. Xu Ming had never been to an evangelical church. One Sunday, a friend brought him here. I met him right over here. God was at work in his life, and uncharacteristically, he began to tell me his life story. We became friends. Now, at that point, I could have made it just Jesus and Steve ministering to Xu Ming. And he could show up at church, but it'd be all about us. And it dawned on me that would not be effective. So I tried an experiment. I thought, I want to expose him to the body of Christ. So I invited him to my Tuesday morning men's group. And he was in it for many, many months. We were studying the basic doctrines of the faith. He's not a believer yet. One of the highlights of my life was to watch this unbeliever. We would assign different things. He gave a report on the authority of Scripture. And he wasn't even a believer yet. But over time, he met others in the body of Christ. And that exposure to the team eventually led him to Christ. And when he came to Christ, he was already connected. In your ministry, do you have a team? Are you connected to the body of Christ? You were never called to do it alone. We are called to function in partnership on ministry. If you go through Cherrydale and look at the ministries that are thriving, that common theme is always there. It's partnerships, not lone rangers. People of the world has been flourishing for years here because of the team that is leading it. Katrina relief teams, sports outreach teams, teams that minister to children, to youth, mom to mom, healing prayer, jail. I could keep going. I think it's important that you see real live object lessons, people who are actually doing this, to bring them before the church. So I have 2 this morning. First is Sarah Parrish, who has a burden for orphans. Instead of just doing it all alone, she has a team. And she's going to invite some of you to come be a part of that team. So welcome Sarah. She shares her story.
Hi. Good morning. Like Pastor King said, I'm Sarah Parrish, and I joined the church about a year ago. And I've gotten so much support from the leaders here to just go forward with my passion, specifically with orphans. And my desire to work with orphans actually began when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I saw a Compassion International advertisement on the TV and just could not understand why children were dying without moms, dads, food, or clothing. And we were just sitting here doing nothing. And it's been a few years. I'm working in adoption now. And we've started a Bible study and a team where we're going and looking through what God has to say about orphans. And last year, I was actually able to go on a mission trip to Russia where I was able to meet a few special children. And you look and see above is Koya to my right. And he actually, the moment I met him, I knew that he was sort of a social outcast, and he desperately needed a mother's love. And the 2 weeks that I was there, he rarely let go of me. And then also there's some girls that I really got to know, and it was hard for me to leave because they ran after the car when I left. And so they're very sweet. Finally, I think the boy that I will just never forget, he was a 12-year-old who said, "You know what, Sarah, if I could have anything in the world, I could have someone who wouldn't die or leave me." And that just, in tears, I just said, "You know, Jesus Christ will never stop loving you and will never leave you." And it was an amazing trip. Although God has not called me to be overseas permanently, I'm really, really excited to see how God's connected me with other people here who have the passion to love, care for, and visit orphans, as stated in James 1:27. And so I would love it if you would join us. We're starting a small group, and then we hope to be able to provide opportunities for the entire church to help, whether it be, you know, financial support to mission trips and sponsorship, to actually adoption. So I'd love for you to contact me. I'll have some flyers in the back. And thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sarah. Last Sunday afternoon, I had a wonderful experience. I went to a home and prayed over that home, dedicated it to the Lord. And behind that home is a story of a partnership between a Christian businessman, a parachurch group, a family, and people that want to tutor and minister to students right next door to that home. And Patrick and Terry Mellon are the people that are in that home, and I've asked them to come and share their story so you can pray for their partnership and their outreach to the community.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here to tell you about our partnership, a new venture that we've entered into. We joined a committee for Young Life, a ministry, international ministry to teenagers. It's a new venture for us. We're very excited. And the house is a great blessing that we offer or we are using for the purposes of Young Life meetings. But more than that, God's given us a vision for our neighborhood. And we're excited to embark on the mission field just right around us with all the people that we see. Our vision for the house is four P's, coincidentally. Our first P is prayer, that it's through prayer that we show our dependency in God and that we become more intimate, and we want to model that, and we want people to know about that. And people, it's easy to live without or live in a big place, but there's so much space. We want to be with people. We pray that God would bring not only teenagers and individuals desiring to fellowship with us, but we are opening our house to roommates, people who would like to live and partner with us in the Young Life ministry. And the third P is a dear one to me, play. I love to play. I love contest, not just to win, but I like the adrenaline. Oh, some of my playmates over here are chuckling. But play is an avenue where we get to express ourselves like no other place. It's different than work. And it's something I think we need. We want to provide that in the house. We have game room, volleyball court. But not only just play and recreation, but also creatively. Terry and I are artists, and we like to express that. And so we hope that that would be a place as well. And the fourth P is pasta. Well, I had to have a P in there, so... But breaking bread is important. After our greeting our neighbors and knowing them in casual conversations, when we share a meal with somebody, we become familiar and people become like family. We can open our hearts in a new way and they can do the same. So those are the four things that we like to have going on in the house. And we're looking for people to join our committee for South Arlington, but also to come play and pray and eat food with us. So thank you. Terry would like to share it as well.
We have a really big garage with a foosball table. And above the garage, there is a potential art studio, which I'm really excited about, that we could offer a place for art classes, a place, maybe even an open art studio that you all are invited to come and play in and bring a teenager with you. Because we are created as artwork of God in Christ Jesus to do those good works that he has prepared in advance for us to walk into them. And probably the greatest hope is that all the relationships that we build will be close enough to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Hope you can join us.
Thank you.
The first Reformation got the Word of God into the hands of God's people. The second Reformation is to get the ministry into the hands of God's people, to convince you that you're on first string. You're a believer priest. You're a part of the body of Christ. We are called to function as partners on mission. And in that context, it's very appropriate we come to communion today. Even that word reminds us of this principle. Communion. And it's not just a communion with me and God. It's a communion with the family of God. Communion was given to the church family. The church family celebrates communion. It is not designed just for one individual all by himself. It's the body coming together, remembering what Christ did for us. And it's a tangible reminder that Jesus Christ wants to get me out of being self-centered, isolated, independent, lone ranger, and change my heart so that I am intimately, passionately loving God and loving his people and partnering with others in the body of Christ to make a difference in this dark world. When I come to communion, all of that ought to remind me. For Jesus to do that for me cost him everything. He had to go to the cross and bear the weight of my sin on his body and be damned for what I should have been damned for. And he sent the Holy Spirit to come live within my heart so that Jesus' body is present on this world today. You are the body of Christ. You're his hands. You're his feet. And we are communing together, celebrating that today. When you leave here this morning, you'll see over the doors, you're now entering the mission field. Never take that as it's just me all by myself entering the mission field. We're in partnership. And when we're in partnership, what a difference we can make.